So let's read Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known on earth and your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples with equity and you guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God our God blesses us. May God bless us still so that all the ends of the earth will fear him.
Thank you. When you think of mission, what sort of emotions go through your mind? Is it positive? Is it negative? Is it kind of, oh yeah, I've heard about this? What are the sorts of feelings that it evokes? When you hear stories about missionaries and the sorts of things that they do and the commitments and decisions that they've made, what does that evoke inside you? I was at a prayer meeting not long ago. It was a prayer meeting at my church, and one of the things we were doing was talking about our missionaries and praying for them. And at the end of the prayer meeting, an older gentleman came up to me and said to me, because we've been praying for the Purdy's and also the Rose who were with us at the time, and he said to me, I can't think of anything worse than being a missionary. Oh, that was such an awkward moment for me. I'm thinking, well, it's not that bad. But he couldn't think of anything worse than being a missionary. What do you think? Do you have that kind of reaction, or do you have a more neutral or a more yay, joyful, good reaction? You see, I don't think he was actually trying to speak ill of mission. I don't think he was saying mission isn't important. I just think that he just had these concerns, and I think many of us actually share some of the same concerns about mission and missionary work, worries, you know, and I suppose it can hit home if you were to start thinking about what about your own friends or your own family, or say you've got a grandchild who tells you, I want to become a missionary. What does that mean? Well, that might mean, you know, 10 Christmases in a row without them there. You know, what sort of reaction does that bring in you? So I think he was actually expressing some of these unsettling realities that we all have, because being a missionary can be hard. That's true. Being a missionary does put a lot of pressure on you. It's true. You have to, you know, learn to manage this pressure in the public eye as well. You've got a family just popping up in front of church after church telling you about all of the struggles. That is hard. Being a missionary is such a different path from the paths that what most of us take with our lives. It can appear costly, not only to the missionaries themselves, but also to the churches that send them. These are all true. But the good news is Psalm 67 is going to soothe our worries about mission. And not just soothe us, but enthuse us about mission. Calm our concerns by shaping us to think about the world the way God does and mission the way God does. So for the next few minutes, what I'd like to do is ask three concerned questions, or the questions of concerned people, and then hear the bold, joyful answers of Psalm 67 and a few stories along the way to make the point. So question one of these three concerned questions is mission joyless? The second question is mission just for the super spiritual, just the crazy adventures of the super spiritual? Question three, would mission cost me too much? That's where we're going. Let me pray. Our Lord, please speak to us and encourage us. Your word is holy and sacred, but it is also for our feeding. We ask for that feeding now in Jesus' name. Amen. Concern question number one, is mission joyless? And with a smile, I'd like to say, no, it's not. Mission is for the joy of the nations. And when we participate in mission, it is for our joy too. Psalm 67 verses 3 to 5, I'm going to read them again. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad. Imagine the nations glad. What a great thing that is. May the nations be glad and may the nations sing for joy. For you rule the peoples with equity and you guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. So notice four things here quickly. Firstly, it's repetitive, isn't it? Because this is really important. Keep saying it. Secondly, it's about the peoples. It's not just about the people. It's about people groups. Because God cares about whole groups and whole language groups and history groups and culture groups and so on. And about the nations, many of which we know very little about, but about God's goal for them that they might praise him. That's what God's goal is for every nation. This psalmist is Jewish and he's longing for all the other nations to share Israel's praise of God. And if the peoples are going to praise him, then they'll have to hear about him. And they'll have to turn away from their sin and from worshipping other gods and turn to him and praise him for who he is as the true God. Thirdly, this is the longing of the psalmist's heart. These aren't just details of a contract or a phone book. We used to have those, yeah? This is not just the answer to a Google search. So the word may, did you see how often the word may appeared in this psalm? It can feel like a weak word, can't it? Do you know what I mean? Like, may I help you? Sounds a little bit weak and polite and sort of not very powerful. But I think the meaning here is much, much stronger than that. It's about a future that hasn't happened yet, but one that will be supremely good. And one that we long for and we pray for. So when you say, may the peoples praise you, it's like saying, if only all the peoples would praise you, God. It's that yearning of the heart. It's saying, I long for the day when the nations will be glad and sing for joy because Christ rules everywhere. Lord, may it be so. And fourthly, as I said a minute ago, mission is for the joy of the nations. Joy is the point of mission. Notice verse 4. May the nations be glad and sing for joy because God's rule, when they come under God's rule, is just and good. Joy is written into the very purpose of mission. And so we would expect the practice of mission to be joyful too. So what do you think? Is mission joyless? You know, I actually don't know any missionaries or former missionaries who regret being missionaries. Sure, they count the cost. Sometimes they wish they could move past the various painful aspects of life and work, but I never hear anyone saying, I wish I hadn't gone. I never hear them saying, I would have had more joy if I'd stayed in Australia. It just never happens. Some of you may know Tammy Davis, who works in our branch as our mobilization lead. She and her husband, Arthur, and two boys, they spent 10 years with CMS in Tanzania, in East Africa. And they had their challenges. One of their challenges was COVID. The pandemic hit and they are in this majority world context without the same level of medical support. Is that where you want to be when there's a killer virus going around the globe? What do we do? But Tanzania had become their home. They were their people. There was a whole lot of pressure on them, mostly from here, well, all from here, really, to return home. You'll be better off here. Come home. And they made the decision to stay, unlike many other missionaries who, understandably, everybody had their own decisions they needed to make under the circumstances that they had. But, you know, they jumped on the flights. But for the Davises who didn't, it spoke volumes to their Tanzanian friends and colleagues and neighbours. Ah, so you think of yourself as being one of us. Maybe we too will think of you as one of us. And so those connections that are needed for sharing the gospel were driven more deep. People asked them, why don't you come home? But Tanzania was their home. Their hearts were happy there. And one of the things they started doing was to manage the challenges was every Friday afternoon they said, right, well, let's just go to the beach. Because they're on the coast. It's a beautiful part of the world. Let's just go to the beach. We'll take the family down there. You know, school's difficult for the kids. They're having troubles and you think, oh, those Tanzanian schools. But it wasn't a Tanzanian school. It was a missionary school. And the troubles they were having was a missionary teacher. And people are saying, well, wouldn't just come back to Australia. There are better schools here, right? We can deal with your problems. So they thought, no, we belong here. We're just going to go to the beach every Friday afternoon. And that became one of their really joyful family times. And then they started inviting their colleagues and friends and neighbours to come. And then everybody went to the beach on Friday afternoons and they just had these wonderful times together. We mustn't think of mission as joyless. It's wrong to think that way. And if it's kind of swirling around inside us, it's probably not the Spirit telling us that. The Spirit is telling us mission is for the joy of the nations. Concerned question number two. Is mission just the adventures of the super spiritual? And with a big smile on my face, I say, no! In fact, what makes us think that missionaries choose their own adventure? Create their own mission. Now, it is true that missionaries have lots of conversations before they go about what they're planning to do and why. Have a strategy of some sort. All of our missionaries have what we call an SLS, a short legitimate statement, that even if they're in a place where they're not supposed to be evangelizing, their short legitimate statement is still true and is still valid. So they all come up with that. For Kay, I don't know if you know Kay, but hers is something along the lines of sharing Christ among the gospel poor peoples of Southeast Asia through teaching English. Now, that probably isn't what she would say to her government, actually, but that's another story. For the Purdy's, it's all about theological education of pastors and leaders in Latin America to help grow churches in the Bible. But the point is, whatever statements you come up with and whatever plans and strategies or whatever, mission belongs to God. It's His. You do it because He's done it. Our mission is actually God's mission. And if ever it's not God's mission, then mission is nothing. It would be a waste of time if it were not God's mission that we get to participate in. At its heart, mission is sending for a purpose. God sent prophets. The Father sent the Son. The Father and the Son sent the Spirit. All sent for a purpose. And now God sends the church. Not everyone in the church, of course, will go cross-cultural. But we are all in some way sent for the Great Commission of Christ. And some of us must be sent cross-cultural. Otherwise, how will all the nations come under the praise of God, all the peoples? So, no, missionaries absolutely do not choose their own adventure. It's God's mission. It's actually what He is planning and what He is doing. And we're actually seeking to discern His specific paths as well. We actually send our missionaries off very often saying to them, you know, you've kind of got 3 years to get to know the language and get to know the culture. Don't worry too much about the particular strategy because God will make it clear to you. Your main goal is to make connections with people and share the gospel where you have opportunity. Learn and listen. Jesus, of course, makes it all very clear in the Gospels. But especially note His words to His disciples his sent ones in Luke 24. This is at the very end after the resurrection. Verse 45, Jesus opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures, that is, understand the long-term plans of God. And he told them, this is what's written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And here's the key thing. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. So Jesus actually specifically says, don't go and try and be a missionary until you receive the Spirit. Stay here. Don't go anywhere because it'll be useless. Wait until you've been clothed with power from on high. Wait until you receive the Spirit. He will be your strength and your guidance, and he will make it happen. And this preaching of repentance for the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus to all nations, it's not just Jesus' instruction to them, although it is that, but it's not just that. It's also his promise. This is what was always said in the scriptures, that this would happen to all nations. And he's referring to Psalms like, or parts of the Bible like, Psalm 67. The nations will be glad and they will sing for joy. And the only way this is ever going to happen is if the Spirit comes and sends you off and you will do what the scriptures have said you'll do, which is to preach repentance and faith in Christ. I heard a wonderful illustration of this recently from a book called The Insanity of God by Nick Ripken. Has anyone come across this book, The Insanity of God? It's a ripper. There's a pastor in Russia some decades ago who was arrested, thrown in prison. It was a huge prison. I think it was 3,000 inmates, that kind of size. This pastor was regularly beaten, both in his cell and also taken to other parts of the prison to be beaten. But every day he would also stand in his cell and sing a traditional Russian song of praise to God. Every day. Months passed, the beatings continued, but so did the singing of praise to God. Until one day his tormentor said, that's it, last chance, give up your faith or we will kill you. He said no, and so they came to drag him out of his cell, to take him off, to kill him. But as they dragged him off, a song started, quietly at first. But then, 3,000 strong, the prison thundered with the sound of all the inmates praising God in the song that had been sung every day in that prison. They were praising in protest. But whether they realized this or not, they were also praising in fulfillment of God's word, that the nations would praise him. And what happened? The pastor was released. They just didn't have any other answers. They just let him go. And that power of praise was unstoppable. Extraordinary. The prayers of the churches and the Christians in the area were answered. Now, obviously, that was a one-off, big, memorable, major event, wasn't it? And we long for those. But what happens every day in the church, in the world, is that God hears the prayers of his people and he answers them in accordance with this stated mission that the peoples will praise him. These are the prayers that you can bank your life on, that the nations will rejoice. CMS is connected to churches and Christians and the work of the Spirit in many places in the world, whether it's dozens of baptisms happening in Dubai, as all the nations come to Dubai for temporary work, and then they become Christians there. It's extraordinary. Their cultural guard is down or something, and they then take the gospel home. And there are multiple places in the world like that. And there are numerous stories of stubborn anti-Christians who are brought to their knees by the gentle but powerful work of the Spirit. And our missionaries, sometimes they go through periods of, you know, not seeing lots of fruit, but very often they are hearing stories like this up close. And so is mission just the adventures of the super spiritual? No, it's the purposes of God being fulfilled. And you and I can choose to be part of this mission should we choose to accept it. Concern question number three. I've got a slightly different wording of that question. I'll go back to how I originally asked it. Would mission cost me too much? Would mission cost me too much? No. Smile. All the blessing that we receive is for mission. Now, blessing, of course, is something that Christians talk about all the time. Do you pray for God to bless this person and that person and this sort of, you know, ministry or that sort of thing? I don't know if you use that language. I do, some don't, but it's all through the Bible. And we pray for God's blessing, his favour on various things. But what are we actually praying for when we pray for blessing? Well, Psalm 67 starts with a well-known blessing. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us. It's such a great thing to pray for someone, isn't it? That God would be gracious to that person and bless them and make his face to shine on them. That they see him as he truly is. That they would have his favour. What a great thing to have God's favour. That he would step into a person's life and show his face so that they might be able to say, Lord, you are welcome in my home. You are welcome in my family, in my city. Please bring good into those spaces. But why do we pray for blessing? Why do you pray for blessing? Because people deserve it, maybe, or because I love somebody or whatever. Don't know. We might say, well, you know, God loves us as a father. He wants the best for me, right? Yes. Even if what I get isn't what I actually asked for, I know he loves me. And so when I pray for his blessing, I know that the answers will be for my good, even if I don't necessarily, if that wasn't the exact thing I wanted. But there is a much more important reason that we pray for blessing that may surprise you. I think we're often tempted to think that, you know, the most important thing in life is family. I don't know what you think the most important thing in life is. Family is certainly very important. Maybe you think that, you know, the most important decisions you make in life are, you know, who to marry, what job to do, where to live, those sorts of things. But no, there's a higher importance. So this blessing, I hear it quoted all the time, but I almost never hear the whole sentence. I never hear the next bit, verse 2. So I'm going to read verse 1 and 2 together. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Isn't that interesting? So the reason we pray for God's blessing on our lives is global mission. Yeah? Come on, Mark. You can't say everything's about global mission. Yes, you can. Everything is about God's glory ultimately being revealed. What an extraordinary thing that the human race has this great honour, that God's whole plans and purposes are about revealing his glory to humanity, to the world. Everything is about that. Even the hard stuff. Mission is the whole point of the whole Bible. It's a synonym for God's purposes. The reason we pray for ourselves is so that God's ways might be proclaimed among the nations, and that as a result, God would receive the praise that he is due. What else is mission if not the praise of God amongst every people group on earth? May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. These are the prayers for God to be glorified through mission. So this is the heartbeat of the church, right? This is what drives us. It's our heart's longing. We pray for blessing on ourselves so that mission might happen. Did you get that? We pray for blessing on ourselves so that mission will happen. Lord, bless my children so that they might become missionaries. You ever prayed that? If that's your will, Lord, I'll let them go. But what a blessing it would be if you could send a child to be a missionary. Lord, use my funds and possessions so that your name would be known everywhere. Even if I have to give a lot of it, how much do I need? How much do I keep for myself? Or I actually not keep anything for myself, but I just use every cent I have, including the cents and dollars that I use to feed myself and my children and pay the mortgage and all the costs. But I just, everything together, and then the disposable stuff that I can funnel into various mission initiatives. The whole lot, God, is for you and your mission. And prayed with joy. Lord, take it. Because what you're doing is good. Lord, bless my work and bless my health and bless my marriage, not for my sake, but for Christ's sake, so that my health and my marriage and my work might glorify Christ and that people might see him through me. Everything we have comes from God and should be directed towards what God intends it to be achieving, which is the glory of Jesus. So our concerned question number three, would mission cost me too much? Well, it depends on how we understand cost, doesn't it? If everything I receive, my possessions, my skills, my experiences, my very life is given for the purpose of God's salvation being made known among the nations, then using those resources for that purpose doesn't cost us anything, does it? There's no cost involved. If we have given ourselves entirely to his plans, everything you need, he will provide. Remember Philippians 4, verse 19? My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. That's a promise. So two important things to remember about this. Steward all the blessings that you have well and use them for the purpose that God has given them. And secondly, this is the fun one, ask for more. Ask for more and more blessing. It's even okay to ask for more money for the things that are important to God. Lord, I really need the Lamborghini. No, not the Lamborghini, the missionaries to be funded. I don't know. How do you make that choice? Well, I don't know. But ask for more skills, more experience, more people, more families to come to church. Whatever it takes for mission to be furthered, for Jesus to be known. Lord, more workers for your harvest. He actually specifically tells us, pray for workers to go cross-cultural for the global harvest. Okay then, so conclusion. Action stations. What does this look like? If we're joyful about mission, what can we do? What does it mean for us? Well, I'll finish with CMS's well-known call to action, pray, care, give, go. Pray for the world and for mission and for missionaries. Care for those things. Give to support them and go or send someone. Pray. So a few months back, Kay in Southeast Asia was finding it really hard to get into meaningful spiritual conversations. Like there she is in It's a bit more than a few months now, actually. It's about a year ago. There she is in this Buddhist context where, you know, the enemy's influence is everywhere, and she's looking for conversations, and they're just not happening. She can't talk to anyone about Jesus. No one wants to talk. So, you know, she says to us, please pray for opportunities. Then in her next prayer update, what happens? Well, she reported 3 or 4 conversations that she had about faith. Well, why are we surprised? But somebody, a bunch of people, including myself, allocated a bunch of the time that we've been blessed with to ask for those things to happen, and that's what God did. He gave her lots of conversations. But you don't need to wait for a missionary to ask for those things. Just keep asking God for them anyway. Lord, whether the missionaries are looking for people who need to come to faith or not, just please put them in front of them and please give them great conversations and let them see the joy of people turning from Buddhism to Christ or whatever it is. So pray with joy. Care. D&T are in Asia. Well, he's actually in Adelaide at the moment, but they're stationed in Asia. They've been there for 19 years now. They've been connected to an orphanage for abandoned children with disabilities. COVID meant they had to shut their doors to any outside help, any foreign help. And so, you know, this long-term involvement of D&T in this orphanage, investing in over 100 orphans' lives and making very significant, tangible impact for Christ, the doors just slammed shut. But during that time of them not being able to access that context again, D&T report that the thing that really helped them to persevere was the care of their supporters, the fact that people remembered them and kept on thinking about them and writing to them and just being thoughtful about them. Care is so important. Pray, care, give. The Purdy's aren't the only workers from our branch who are underfunded, but as I said earlier, they've been talking about their giving situation for 3 months now on home assignment, and the support levels just haven't budged. Will you consider giving to CMS regularly for the Purdy's and missionaries like them? That money has eternal usefulness and purpose. And finally, go. M has been on location, and I told you earlier the inspiring story about him deciding to change languages from one of the world's most difficult languages to an even more difficult language, all because he cares about these people hearing about Christ. So could you be the next M? Or is there someone sitting near you who could be the next M? Dob in a mate, we say. And maybe just ask them the question. There's people pointing at each other at the moment. That's great. That's good. Let's keep that going. And have a chat to Colin or others or me, and particularly God, and say, am I the next person to go and be a missionary? Do I have the skills? But I tell you what, everything that you've got, God can use, whether it's here or overseas. To finish, is mission joyless? Is mission just the adventures of the super spiritual? No. Would mission cost me too much? No. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that you would hear these words that we've just uttered to you, that we do believe that mission is joyful and is for the joy of the nations. And we just ask that you would please bless us more and more and more. Fill our chairs with people and families. Fill our accounts with money, fill our lives with richness so that we can share Christ, so that we can release it, everything, even the people that are close to us. And Lord, would you please fill us day by day with the joy of mission. Help us never to forget this. And we pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen.